Good morning. You know, I was going to say, gong hei fa choi. But then my wife reminded me this morning that, do you know what it means? I said, well, you know, Happy New Year's, right? He goes, no, it means I hope you get rich. I hope you become wealthy this year. I said, really? Okay, maybe that's not the right message that I want to give as a pastor. So I would just stay with the term, xin nian kuai le, you know, or just Happy New Year's, right? Just keep it simple that way. If you have your scripture, your Bible open up to Joshua, that's a good thing. I want you to keep it there. I'm going to talk a little bit about Joshua today. Let me ask you if you just join with me in prayer. Lord Jesus, we admit, Lord, that sometimes we are just too dependent on ourselves when it comes to evangelism, when it comes to being missional, when it comes to spreading the word. Father, Lord, we have put ourselves in the middle and we have taken you out of the middle. And so, Father, Lord, give us a recalibration this morning as we look into your word, as we look into how this thing works, as we look into how God-centric things need to be in order for us to have any power. And so, Lord Jesus, allow me, Lord, use me to breathe some encouragement to the faithful here that are really trying and that have a burden for a lot of people that you have placed in their hearts. So, Lord, I ask that you would give me much grace this morning and allow your people to understand. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, today's the last message of our series about being a missional people. And, I've been looking forward to this because I believe that over the recent times, God has given me a lot of things that's going on in my circumstance that allows me to see something new in the scriptures. And ever since that I put up my names on that cross, the covenant cross here behind me, along with some of you, God has been doing some deep things in my own walk with the Lord, in my own spiritual journey, and in terms of how I reach out as I, preach about it at church. But there's a very personal application to this as well. So as a result, I've been trying to connect with people that are, outside my normal circle, outside the other pastoral people, other leaders, outside of my own church grace faith circle, outside of the Christian circles. And my conviction is that, every connection that I make for his name's sake has potential. Because how can people know about God if it's not presented to them in a relevant way? And how can it be in a relevant way without a real connection with people? And how can real connections be made without us being intentional to make them? And why will we be intentional unless we want the Father's name to be known on earth? Yes. today's title is Waiting to Shout His Name. So just hold on a second there, right? So as I'm personally learning this, and I'm learning a lot about this, I've connected with people. Everywhere I go, I try to make it a lifestyle. I connected with people at the biking trails, at Cunningham Park. I connected with my cousins that are scattered throughout the city, and even one that's on the West Coast. I connected with people that in my daughter's ballet class. All right, last year, one that was baptized here. I connected with my neighbors on my block. The ones that I like, and then the other category. All right. I connected with my own high school friends, the few that I had, and with Sydney's high school friends, and the list goes on and on and on. And God cannot be placed in a box of our own limitations, of our own planning, of our own imagination. And so God is able to use me beyond what is understood as, pastoral ministry at Grace Faith Church. Because there's a great harvest out there. That's through both, your church, yes, but also through your personal life. And so every one of us should see that with God, the sky's the limit. And Joshua in the Bible, you know, he probably had the same thought when he saw the entire promised land, you know, before him. As he scanned beyond all the vast horizon that was before him, you know, God said to him in chapter 1, verse 3, God says, I will give you every place you set your foot on, as I promised Moses. Every place you set your foot. And so Joshua can see the territory, you know, as far as his eyes could see from the high vantage point that he was at. You know, you have here, you know, the coast to the Mediterranean Sea, and then to the north, all the mountains to where we call Turkey today, and then down to the south, you know, the desert Negev area or the Sinai Peninsula, and then to all the way in the east where we call places like Iraq and so on and so forth. The sky's the limit. And it almost sounds like a precursor to the Great Commission when you think about it. That's thousands of years after Joshua. Because in Acts 1:8, it says this, that you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You see, there's an advancement of his kingdom that starts with a epic center of Jerusalem. And here, Joshua is standing at this beginning of a promised land, a land that is promised to him, but yet to be conquered. And it spreads out, you see. And you see a lot of parallelisms. You see, Joshua was battling the Canaanites, but in the New Testament, you know, we are battling for souls in the name of the Lord. Joshua uses swords to conquer, while we use the love of Christ that he has given us to conquer. Joshua's territory is a physical, actual land, but our territory is the hearts and minds of people who are submitted and surrendered towards Christ. All right, different metaphors, but really the same battle for the advancement of God's kingdom. And so God challenges Joshua with his old formula that this is, nothing has changed now. Thousands of years, nothing has changed. It has always been, always will be, trust and obey. All right, we have hymns about that. And so in our scripture reading in verse 6 to 9 of chapter 1, we read words like, you will be successful wherever you go. And God says that I'll be with you wherever you go. And this is really a message for our missional people, that God has placed in us a partnership. That wherever you go, wherever life takes you, wherever his sovereignty takes you, then that is where you are to do your work in the harvest. And then we find here in Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, I'm going to build up to chapter 6. Chapter 6 is the epic battle, all right, for Jericho. We know that story. So I'm going to build towards that a little bit. And so Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, where God promises him that he's going to do amazing things if you trust and obey. And so Joshua goes back and he tells the people God's message. And he says, you know what, consecrate yourselves. In other words, to spiritually surrender yourselves for the miracles ahead. And God will use you in this miracle in people's lives. But you are prepared. You have to be prepared to trust and obey. And that was Joshua's message given to the people. And then chapter 5 talks about this, where God wants all his people, the Israelite people, who are about to go to war and to battle the Canaanites, wants them to get circumcised. You know, having the Israelites to go through the circumcision process prior to battle is really a powerful and painful reminder that it is really about God and not about our own abilities. I mean, when you look at the scriptures here, you know, they were given time to heal and everything, but as they approach this great battle, this fortified city of Jericho, yet God wants them to be circumcised. It's like it doesn't make sense. It's almost like getting surgery, you know, before the big Super Bowl game or something like that, you know, and you're a player. Why would you want to do that? Because God had a message for his people that, you know, it's really about me. And it's about your heart surrendering towards me. That's what's going to make the difference. Not about how sharp you sharpen your sword. Not about how big your shield is. Not about the vastness of your army. It's about me. And so as we approach to Joshua chapter 6, this is a story that we're very familiar with. Perhaps in your Sunday school, if you grew up in church, I'm sure you covered the great walls of Jericho. And if not, then perhaps as a kid, you watched VeggieTales, all right? There's a slide here. I don't know if this brings back memories. Did you see this episode, by the way? Right? It's one of my favorite episodes, right? You know, the big wall, and they threw things there. And I always wonder, like all those soldiers up in the walls, you know, they don't have any arms. And also, so how do they hold up the shields, and how do they fight with the swords? They don't have any arms. And when you think about it, none of the vegetables have any arms. But anyway, all right, so this is well known. The big battle for Jericho and the walls. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 1, reads like this. All right, if you could turn to that, that's fine. If not, just listen in. Verse 1, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, and no one came in. You see, word got out how powerful the Israelites were. And so they were ready for them. And so the citizens of Jericho, they were all locked up tight in a defensive position. All right? And so if you just kind of visualize this a little bit, you know, there are people that you have encountered that are the same way, aren't they? That whenever you bring up God, that whenever you bring up maybe even the name of Jesus, they get all clammed up and they get defensive. And you begin to really feel that as soon as you bring up even a little bit of God into any kind of conversation, that the walls just go right up, right? And the walls become huge walls. You know, about 30 years ago, when I was a teenager, I used to go to this guy, this Italian guy, right here in Chinatown for haircuts. His name was Vinny, right? Right at Broome Street, between Bowery and Christie Street. I don't think he's there anymore. It's a long time ago. But he was always so talkative, you know, with his customers. It was part of his, you know, Italian-American personality. You know, he was warm. He was very customer-friendly. Great personality. So as a kid there, you know, I was a Christian, and I remember the pastor telling me about, you know, reaching out, you know, John 3:16, the whole thing. And so like, in my own arc of way, as a teenager, I kind of mentioned about, like, oh, yeah, so Vinny, you believe in Jesus? You know, and as soon as I said that, I clammed up, you know, because I was really nervous. And then he said, you know, there's just two things, son, two things that I don't talk about. It's politics and religion. All right, now Vinny, you know, he was very polite about this, but other people may not be so polite about it. Others may respond to any mention about God with great hostility. And perhaps some people would constantly joke and make fun about things, you know, to be very witty about it, because they never really want to get into a serious conversation about Jesus or about God, for that matter. It's their defense mechanism. And some have their own logic and their own conclusions all made up already, well rehearsed in their minds, so that if you bring it up, then boom, they'll give you the whole case and, you know what, it's okay. I got it all figured out and it's not for me. And for some people, they're just allergic to God. That they don't want you to bring it up, and if you ever bring it up, then it's going to be an argument. I mean, does anybody here know what I'm talking about this morning? All right, you begin to wonder, you know, how will these walls that are up, how will these walls ever come down? And, you know, we should not be surprised nor discouraged, because the work at hand is an eternal work. It's a big time thing. This is eternal effect. I mean, what you do, a lot of things are temporary when we do in life. What we do missionally, what we do for the name of the Lord, it's eternal, it's big time. So we are in the middle of this invisible spiritual battlefield. And God's work is about moving people from the dominion of darkness, as the scripture tells us, into the kingdom of light, or into the kingdom of the Son, Jesus Christ. And so people's hearts are all locked up in a defensive position, and nothing's coming in and nothing's going out. And you realize that the walls are to keep people from coming in, as well as to keep people from leaving. So in verse 2, God challenges Joshua's faith, and notice if you look at the passage there, the words from God is this, you know, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. And that's not a typo there. That if you look into the original language and so on and so forth, yeah, it's correct. God did not say, I will eventually give you Jericho, or I'm working on that, or you will have that. He says, I have delivered Jericho into your hands. God is basically saying, it's a done deal. And it's almost like a week before the Super Bowl, and you would have Peyton Manning come out and say on media day, you know, guys, the game is in the bag. Just give me the trophy right now. It's in the bag, right? Before the kickoff even happens, to make a boast like that would sound kind of ridiculous. But yet God's a sovereign God, and he's onto something, you see. That before the battle even started, before a single arrow is even shot, that before strategies were made, before plans of how to besiege the great wall of Jericho, before that was developed, God made a promise. And God's promises always require faith. So what this says to us is that there are people out there that God has already delivered to you, right? That has given into your hands. And maybe they are the person of peace that you are currently having right now, the people that the relationships that you have. Or maybe there are people that you would least expect, people that you don't think they'll ever be open to God, and all of a sudden God has delivered them into your hands. Or perhaps you have been waiting for someone to return to God, and you've been waiting for a very long time. I'm here to tell you this morning, be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. God is sovereign. And he has been working on their hearts and minds, perhaps ever since the first day that you've been praying about it. And so despite their hardened exterior, despite what you perceive, the Spirit of God has done what only the Spirit of God can do. So when it comes to being missional, it is not by the might of your persuasion. It is not by the power of your ability to convince somebody. It is still by his Spirit, declares the Lord. And so God tells Joshua, you know, how this is going to work and how the walls of Jericho is going to come down. He says, I want you to march around the whole city, the entire city, not just a section of it, march around the whole city carrying full equipment and full weaponry. But I don't want you to fight. And I want you to also carry this big, bulky thing called the Ark of the Covenant, so that you will be the slow-moving target, you know, for all the archers that's on that wall. And worse than that, this Ark that you have to carry, it has no military value at all. As a matter of fact, it is a liability on the battlefield. I mean, you can't even hide underneath it, right? When the arrows come down, you can't hide underneath it because you have to carry it on these poles. And so you will be exposed. So you just get a picture that, wow, you know, this is, I don't know about this, Lord. You know, God, I just kind of picture a disaster coming up here, you know? You know, remember that scene in Lords of the Rings, the Battle of Hornburg or something? Here, let's get that next slide up there. Remember that scene there? All right? I you know, again, I don't like the Lords of the Rings. It was too long for me, but I figure some of you do. So I went to Google this, you know, this imagery. So remember that battle scene with the walls and everything. It's a lot of work to get over a wall and to conquer a city that has been fortified, that's been ready for you. So to conquer a city that is fortified is really a messy business. You take on a lot of casualties, all right? Because again, the defenders are ready for you. And in the heat of battle, I mean, if you and I were one of these people here, I mean, you gotta be very efficient about this, you know? Whatever you're carrying, it better shoot something or it better block something. Otherwise, why would you carry it at all? And so they have an ark, this bulky, slow-moving ark that doesn't have any wheels, is like a magnet for arrows. And you can just picture that they would try to toss those balls of hot oil, burning oil, on defenseless people that are holding the ark. And so as they march around the city, the priests are supposed to blow these trumpets, but they're not to attack. Now, you normally blow trumpets on the battlefield to signal something, right? You blow it, say, okay, the archers, you know, throw this. You blow it, all right, the cavalry goes this way. But here, you know, God wants them to blow the trumpets, but not to attack. To bring your sword, but don't attack. To keep walking and keep marching and don't stop. And not to shout a word. So that totally does not make sense. And they are to do this for 6 straight days. So think about what's going through the Israelites' minds. That if you were a part of this, you know, what would go through your mind? You know, it's like our attempt to speak about Jesus to people, you know, and you just, you know, you kind of try your effort there, and every day I've been trying to do this and that, but I don't see the results. What's this whole thing for? I'm doing this only because God told me to do this, but I don't really see it working. Did you ever feel that way? That the Bible says to trust and obey and to do it every day. And he tells me these promises that's going to take a lot of faith to believe in. That he has given me Jericho already, but that goal seems to be way off. I've tried in the past to bring God's name up, but all I get is a wall. Lord, how will these walls ever come down? Right? Did you ever feel that way? I know I do. And so I'm speaking to those of you who have tried hard. You have tried to reach people for Christ. But it just feels like it's going nowhere. And you don't see it. You only see walls. And you have shouted God's name, and they shouted back, and there was an argument that didn't really go your way. You try to drag them to church. Try to give them a Bible, and you feel discouraged and perhaps a bit overwhelmed when you think about the past failures. And so it's just like the Israelite army. They just keep on marching around and around and around simply out of obedience to his word. Even though it doesn't make sense, but you keep doing it because, again, it's trust and obey. And your hope is not rested on your ability anymore as you do these rounds. And it's not resting on your timing anymore because that went out the window the third or fourth time that you went around the city. And this is a small detail about the ark. That the ark was being carried right in the middle of the procession, right? Where the front is the army and the back is the other part of the army, and sandwiched in between here is the ark. And so God is trying to say something very powerful to his people. And he's saying it to us too through his scriptures. He's saying that in order for those walls to come down, I must be at the center of everything. That if you want victory, then I am your secret weapon. And Jesus tells his disciples something of the same message. That I am the Lord of the harvest. All right? It's a God-centric thing that we try and do. And so my word of encouragement for you this morning is this, that even if you face huge walls, keep on marching according to his word. That God still wants you to love your neighbor as yourself. So keep on doing what you do until God gives you an opportunity, and he will, to shout his name. That the covenant cross that's behind me, and you know, when you put names on there, keep on praying for them. Keep on extending yourself to connect with them. for his name's sake. Even though after 4 years now, maybe there's not a whole lot of breakthrough in your situation, well, keep going and be faithful to the covenant that you have made, all right, on behalf of your loved ones. And your moment to shout will come. And through your obedience, God is setting up something in the future. He's setting you a situation, an opportunity where now is the right time to shout his name. And then the walls will be coming down. And so God wants you to keep engaging with people that are outside of your tight Christian circles. You know, it does take a lot of time and energy to do that. I have to admit, I know that. And many times you would rather perhaps spend your weekends with just your family or just among your Christian friends and have a good time. But yet you choose to connect with people that's around you that God has sprinkled along your life because you believe that somehow God's going to use this. I don't see it, but God is going to use this. And I'm trying to be obedient and faithful to his word. And so even if it seems like it's going nowhere, opportunities to shout his name are few, but keep connecting with them. And God will give you a perfect time. And opportunities will unfold where you begin to realize, God, this is you. This has nothing to do with my ability, nothing to do with my timing. And I'm shout your name. And then the walls keep coming down.